One of the biggest swings in Australian political history will be made official this morning when the Australian Electoral Commission declares that independent Keren Phelps, the winner in the Wentworth by-election after a fortnight of counting. Keren Phelps will join the ever-expanding crossbench after narrowly beating the Liberal candidate Dave Sharma. In the end, it was by 1,851 votes on a two-party preferred basis. The result means Australia will have its second minority government in 5 years, the coalition now down one vote in the House of Representatives. The swing against the Morrison government in the seat of Wentworth was a near-record 19%. Keren Phelps joins us just ahead of the declaration of the ballot this morning. Keren Phelps, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
And I think at this point we can say congratulations.
I think it's safe to say now.
In a couple of hours' time, it will be official. The Liberal Party will have lost one of its safest seats on the back of a swing of more than 19%. Why did you win Wentworth?
I think there were a number of issues that really came together to create this kind of sentiment in the Wentworth community that they wanted a change. And the first thing, of course, was the ousting of Malcolm Turnbull. He was a popular local member, Prime Minister, and for him to be ousted with still no apparent reason or rationale behind it really angered a lot of people. And it wasn't just about the personalities involved. It really was about the disenchantment with the party political system and the sense that the parties were putting themselves above the people. And the other two issues that were very prominent during the Wentworth by-election campaign were the treatment of children in particular as asylum seekers on Nauru and generally the treatment of refugees on Manus Island and Nauru, and the lack of action on climate change. Those were two very potent issues. There were other issues that came up during the campaign, but I'd have to say they would be the top three.
Okay. As Michael McCormick puts it, Dubbo is not Double Bay. In other words, Wentworth is not typical of the rest of the country in terms perhaps of the issues that it's focused on. How much can be really read into this one result, in your view? How representative is Wentworth?
I think the disenchantment with party political systems is fairly widespread. People that I talk to in different parts of the country, friends who live in country areas and who travel a great deal, are saying that they are not happy with the way that the party political system is working, and in particular the sort of revolving door of leadership in Canberra is something that has concerned people. It creates a sense of instability, and it creates a sense that the parties are more interested in their own survival and their own internal factional fighting than they are in people's cost of living or whether they can get a job or, you know, whether they have schools for their children to be able to be educated and how much it costs for university education and these sorts of issues that really are paramount in the lives of real people that don't seem to be getting the focus of the leaders in Canberra if all they're interested in is who's in the top job.
Wentworth tips the government into minority. Let's talk about how you might use the position you will now have. The government will rely on the crossbench to stay in power. You've said you won't be a wrecker. Presumably you'd prefer there wasn't an early election because you've only just got there. But if you don't see substantial movement on these issues, could you be open to supporting a no-confidence motion in the government? And have you told the Prime Minister as much?
I haven't spoken to the Prime Minister at this stage. I suspect he's waiting for the declaration of the polls today. And I would certainly welcome an early conversation so that we can at least be introduced to each other, you know, as members of Parliament and in his role as a Prime Minister. But going forward, as you said, I don't have any intention of being a wrecker. I'm there because I think that we need more stability, not less. I am representative of the sensible centre. One of the reasons that I stood was that I was very concerned, as many other Australians were, about the lurch of the Liberal and National parties to the right. And a lot of people are telling me, and certainly told me in Wentworth during the by-election campaign, that they wanted to see government move back towards the sensible centre. They want sensible economic policies, but they also want socially progressive policies to be considered as well. And so, you know, what I would be seeking to do would be to modify any legislation or government policies that sought to drag Australia further to the right. And as a crossbencher, you're able to, I think, have an influence as a strong independent and local voice for your community.
Will you be seeking to work with the other crossbenchers? I know you reached out to Cathy McGowan and Rebecca Sharkey during the Wentworth campaign. There'll be six on the crossbench. Will you try and maximise your balance of power by voting as an informal bloc? Have you had those discussions?
Well, I think as independents and minor party members on the crossbench, each person will bring their own opinions to the role. But certainly where there are shared values and where there are shared opinions, then, you know, that would in and of itself create a block, but only if they were firmly held independent opinions. I wouldn't be swayed by becoming part of a bloc. I would only be influenced by my electorate and by what I felt was the right thing to do and the right way to vote on any given issue.
It's 18 to 8. Our guest is Keryn Phelps. This morning she will be sworn in as the new member for Wentworth. Going to a couple of those issues you've talked about, getting children off Nauru, you said, would be a top priority. There's been progress. Reportedly 50 children have been brought off Nauru since the beginning of October. That's a real increase in the number of children being brought off. But Peter Dutton, the minister, is emphatic that relocation does not mean resettlement. He's also made it clear he's not a supporter of the New Zealand offer to take 150 people a year. Now, you've described New Zealand as an extremely good option. Will you be pressing Scott Morrison to ignore his minister and his concerns about pull factors?
Well, I think it's extraordinarily important that the children are brought away from Nauru to Australia for urgent medical and psychological treatment. And by urgent, I don't think waiting until Christmas time is the right timing. I think that I've certainly had discussions with doctors who are looking after these children, and they are very concerned about the situation for the children and their families. And I would like to see much more urgent action on that. But having said that, I'm very pleased to see the number of children and their families who've been brought from Nauru in the interim. What we need to see now are really practical resettlement options. And New Zealand is one such option that refugee advocates have said is an acceptable compromise. But we also need to see regional cooperation on other resettlement options too.
So you'll be pushing for the New Zealand option?
I think we need to look at the New Zealand option as one of the options, definitely.
What about the children that have been brought here already? Would you be pushing the government? As I said, the minister says relocation is not resettlement. Would you be pushing for some of those to be resettled here?
I think you'd have to look at the entire situation, what family support they had here, what community support they had here in Australia, and I certainly would not be averse to those children and their families being resettled in Australia. But I think we have to look realistically at the foreign policy, the entire foreign policy settings for this option. But certainly the New Zealand option is something that I have been told by refugee advocates is one that would be acceptable as an interim solution, certainly. But again, we do need to look at regional cooperation, and in particular to improve the situation for asylum seekers who are in countries like Indonesia and Malaysia and Thailand, to make their lives better in those countries, in those third countries, so that they don't feel the need to try to get to Australia.
Can I talk to you about religious discrimination? You kind of forced this issue onto the agenda during the Wentworth by-election. During the by-election, the government promised legislation to outlaw discrimination against LGBTI students at religious schools. And in the last week or so, there's been a letter from 34 Anglican schools in Sydney, right, demanding that the government maintain the existing right to discriminate against gay teachers. Would you support legislation brought on by the government if it only deals with students and still allows exemptions for discrimination against teachers?
I don't think students or teachers should be discriminated against in schools. I mean, this is, again, a divisive issue. There are some schools who have already spoken out and said that they don't want to have the right to expel students or to discriminate against teachers on the basis of sexuality or marriage status or any other reason. They want to be able to have non-discriminatory workplace practices. And, you know, it really is, I think, an archaic kind of principle for schools to be wanting to have the right to discriminate against students or teachers on the basis of their sexuality. We should not have these discriminatory practices in workplaces.
Can I come now just finally to your position as a doctor and a member of the Sydney City Council? One of your first votes in the Parliament could be on whether to refer Peter Dutton and Chris Crowther to the High Court for alleged breaches of the Constitution. What approach will you take to referrals under Section 44?
Well, evidence is the most important thing initially, and I would have to get a comprehensive briefing on those two cases and then make a decision based on that briefing, and I will be seeking that as soon as I possibly can. I'm only going to hear the declaration of the polls today, and so I will be asking for information in order to be able to make an informed decision.
And as a GP yourself, will you continue in the short term to see some patients? Is that going to get difficult under Section 44 if you receive Medicare payments?
No. Before I nominated, I had very... high-level legal advice so that I was fully informed about my situation under Section 44, obviously being aware that it had been used politically, and also because I think in terms of due diligence, you don't nominate for a position unless you're satisfied that you qualify under Section 44 of the Constitution, given the fact that it has had so much attention in recent years. And so I am satisfied that I don't have any issues there, bearing in mind that the Medicare rebate is the patient's statutory benefit. It is not a payment to the doctor.
Okay. And just finally, there's been a fair bit of attention on your decision to stay on as a councillor on the Sydney City Council, at least until next April. What does that say about your confidence of retaining the seat at a general election?
Well, I think you have to bear in mind that the Wentworth by-election was not something anybody anticipated, and I certainly didn't anticipate standing for the election. Having won the Wentworth by-election, I then have to look at transitional arrangements and what this means to a range of other entities and issues. When it comes to City of Sydney Council, I have a duty of care to the ratepayers not to have a by-election unless it's absolutely necessary. I had a meeting with the CEO last week, and my information that I had in hand before that was that in order to avoid a by-election, I need to remain in the position until 18 months out from the next council election, which means that if I stay there until April, then the ratepayers are avoided having to have an expensive by-election. So we'll reassess the situation in April of next year and just see what the situation is then.
All right, Karen Phelps, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Karen Phelps, she'll be declared the official winner of the Wentworth by-election at the declaration of the polls in a few hours' time.